Chapter 46. Triss. The day passed slowly for the Shalane as she sat nearly unmoving at Jen's side. Venna went to another room to nap after midday, leaving the Shalane alone to fret over the wedding and over her sick protector. The thought of Jen leaving upset her deeply, compounding her sadness. She wondered if the Milim Eri would find and aid him, as they said. Their reactions to what she felt for him had surprised them in a way they did not expect or like. As the room grew warmer, the Shalane found she could no longer keep her eyes open, and despite her mounting anxiety, she dozed off. She dreamed that she was back in the canyon, falling asleep to Jen's voice as they talked of plants, animals, and politics. She dreamed of waking with him standing so his shadow kept the sun off her face. She dreamed of a crude cabin between the river and the canyon wall, Jen returning in the evening with freshly caught fish clutched in one hand. She smiled at his return, and he reached out to touch her unveiled face.
Shalane?
She opened her eyes, finding her head on Jen's shoulder. Her mother stood at the curtain, regarding her softly and sadly. The Shalane righted herself and reached under her veil to rub her eyes.
Is it time?
The Shalane asked.
Nearly. How is he? Not well. I must heal him frequently. The sickness returns upon him if I don't. I think there is some evil influence working upon him, perhaps from the cave. It started after that.
The Shalane was relieved that her mother appeared satisfied with the explanation.
We'll wake Fenner to watch over him while you're away. I want you to see if you can do anything for the Pontiff. He has no injury that Padre Athan can detect, but he is not well. After that, it will be time to prepare you for the wedding, though without a brush or your wedding dress, I suppose there won't be much to do.
I have the dress, the Shalane said. Jen fashioned a makeshift backpack, and I put the wedding dress in it. It will be wrinkled. Still, it is something.
They left their smaller dome and made their way around the dais. Shirtan was nowhere to be seen. The soldiers present bowed to her as she passed nearby. The room inspired such reverence that those inside talked in subdued tones, and the Shalane thought it a perfect place to marry, even if she must marry Shirtan. The Pontiff lay on a bed similar to Jen's and appeared as sickly as her protector. Padre Athan stood nearby, attending his every need. The Pontiff's staff of office stood propped in the corner.
I am rejoiced to hear of your arrival. God indeed favours us,
the Pontiff said weakly, managing a smile.
I know you've come to heal me, but I am old and the rigours of the journey have weakened me. If I live to do but this one act, then I will count myself most blessed.
The Shalane took his hand, healing what she could. But finding his words were true, she could not cure old age, and his time neared. He regarded her affectionately and worshipfully, wrinkled face and wispy grey hair lending him a grandfatherly look.
Is everything prepared, First Mother? What arrangements have been made?
The Pontiff asked.
All is in readiness, Holiness, she answered. We will make the wedding as traditional and festive as we can in our circumstances.
And the marriage bed?
We have prepared one of the outbuildings for that purpose. The child will be conceived under the first light of Triss, if the moon cooperates.
The Shalane tried to blank out the thought of her marriage bed, and was determined not to think of it even when in it. The Pontiff relaxed, his voice tired.
It will, Merel. It will. We have come to it now. The moon will herald the most blessed of events and the most troubled of times.
And have you given thought to who will succeed you when you die, Holiness? Merel inquired. I had not heard as yet that you had chosen.
I will announce it tonight after the ceremony.
Merel kissed his hand. Very well. We must prepare.
The Shalane followed suit before leaving, the Pontiff favouring her with a smile. Upon returning to Jen's room, they found him resting uneasily, Fenner dabbing his face with a cool cloth. The Shalane retrieved her dress, finding it a little dirty and very wrinkled.
Come help us, dear, Merel said to Fenner. I will have the Shalane see to him again before the wedding.
During the next half hour, the Shalane stood numb and unmoving as her mother and Fenner pulled, straightened, and dusted her dress into its best possible condition.
Without a brush, they settled on running fingers through her hair, letting it hang loose about her shoulders. The dress held an earthy scent of the roots and leaves she had eaten in the canyon, and the Shalane found her thoughts wandering back to her dream that afternoon. At last they declared her ready, and the Shalane returned their embraces stiffly, mentally bracing herself. Duty finally came to collect its due, and she steeled herself to the purpose. She was the mother of God, given a divine calling, and she would not allow Shatan to degrade her. She would stand dignified, if unloved, by her husband, and bring God back to the world. While she did not love Shatan, she loved many besides, and in that love she would find the strength to obey her calling. As she made a last pretense at healing Jen, she was happy he would be spared watching her wed Shatan, knowing it would cause him pain. She hoped his exile would not last long, and if bearing Eldaroth back into the world meant nothing else, it would mean Jen might at last find the justice and reward he deserved. That thought steadied her. They walked into the great hall, and Maywan handed her a bouquet of flowers she had gathered for her. To her delight, and the delight of her mother and Fenna, fireflies filled the room, casting their light as they danced about overhead.
"Have you ever seen anything like it?" Fenna exclaimed. "It is beautiful."
The Shalane nodded, finding more memories of Jen surfacing in her mind. The bedraggled soldiers formed a line down the centre of the hall. Others carried the pontiff out on a litter and laid him at the base of the dais before the throne, while Shatan waited astride his white horse at the hall entrance. The men had laboured to scatter blossoms on the floor, but it was too immense and the men too few to blanket it well. The Shalane stared at Shatan as she approached him, facing down her fear and loathing with stalwart resolve. He wore his travel clothes, his equipage lost in the Uyumark attack, although he had managed to comb his short, blonde hair and shave. He appeared happy and eager despite their poor circumstances.
"You managed to save your dress despite it all. How excellent," he commented pleasantly.
She curtsied to him as he cast his eyes about the room.
"But where is Jen? It is time to watch."
"I'm afraid he is still unwell, my lord," Merel explained. "He is unable to watch tonight, so Jaren will take his place."
Shatan shook his head.
"Oh no, he will watch tonight of all nights. By God he will. Wake him and get him out here."
"Please, Shatan," the Shalane pleaded, "let him be. I cannot heal exhaustion. Only rest will help him, and we need him strong for the return journey."
Shatan's accommodating demeanour changed back to its natural, petulant state.
"This wedding will not continue until I see Jen at his post. I insist, and will not give way. Get him, now!"
"I will fetch him, my lord,"
Merel acquiesced, and the Shalane saw her mother's face drain of blood as she turned away and hurried back into the lesser dome. Cadean walked at her side, whispering furiously to her. Jaren fingered his hilt, and Fenna bit her lip, face worried. Maywan stood calmly just outside, though the Shalane could sense her tension. The wedding hadn't started yet, and already their plan was falling apart.
"Of course you, Shalane, understand why we must have Jen, don't you?"
Shatan teased in the interim.
"If the Ilk is to level a blow at us, then surely he would strike at our wedding and our marriage bed, would he not? Best we have our most skilled man close by tonight. Surely you can't blame me for fearing the Ilk's treachery tonight of all nights."
"Truly, my lord, I cannot."
Jen opened his eyes, summoned from sleep by Morel's spell. At once the splitting pain in his skull returned, and he fought hard to open his eyes at all. Even the weak light of the fireflies swirling in a globe above Mirel's head hurt to look at, and his stomach balked queasily at the movement.
"I am sorry, Jen," Mirel apologized, straightening his hair. "We'd hoped to let you sleep and let Jaren take your place, but Shatan insisted that you watch."
"She put me to sleep again, didn't she?"
Jen growled angrily, coming to his feet and fighting the dizziness and disorientation.
"Again?"
"Yes,"
Jen said, mentally chastising himself for saying too much.
"Yes, she did it once, while we were in the canyon, because she thought I was too exhausted. Well, let's get to it. It is my place to watch."
"You are not well," Mirel stated firmly.
She and Cadean trailed behind as Jen walked slowly forward, buttoning his black coat.
"Be that as it may, tonight is the fulfilment of prophecy. I want to see it, and I want to be there to ensure that Shatan behaves himself."
"You must have care, Jen,"
Merel whispered, pleadingly, as they entered the hall.
"I fear he will seek your life."
"Shatan can do nothing to me."
"Not yet. But remember, he will be endowed with power, and I believe before this night is over. For pity's sake, Jen, you are needed too much to be wasted. My daughter will handle Shatan."
"No," Jen disagreed. "She will not handle him, for she does not have the feel of the rein for one as wild as he. She will endure him. She will suffer at his hand, and whatever she suffers, I swear I will visit on his head tenfold."
Their proximity to Shatan ended the conversation. Jen called up every last shred of control he could manage. The pain and the fever in his body urged him to leave, to flee Elder Lurimora, and he knew why. But he would not abandon the Shalane in her moment of triumph and misery.
"Shalane," Jen bowed, "it is my honour to serve. Jaren, you are dismissed."
Jaren nodded and stepped away to join the rest of the assembly.
"My, you do look rather sickly, I must say,"
Shatan commented.
"Of course, the ladies are too easy on you. A little exhaustion couldn't keep you from such a momentous event as this. At last, I will be out from under your little challenge and be your king."
Shatan looked at Jen expectantly, but Jen just stood at attention behind the Shalane.
"Well,"
Shatan said. "Did you ask a question, my lord?"
"Do I need to? You're usually so full of comment that I can scarce wait for you to shut up. You truly must not feel well." "Well, let's be at it. Really, I must admit that I am anxious for the pleasure of seeing what no man has seen. Thanks to you, this is one of the few pleasures I've ever had to wait for, and I must admit that the waiting has only whetted my appetite. The road has been a long and lonely one, and the end holds the best refreshment I no doubt have ever tasted."
Jen ignored the bait with effort, and at last Shatan helped the Shalane up onto his horse and started riding forward down the line. Jen walked to the right of the animal, while the First Mother, Fenna, and the Dark Guard formed a circle around it. At once the familiarity of the scene struck Jen. 2 years ago, he had watched a beautiful woman he cared for, and a buffoon, astride a horse, starting their journey toward betrothal, while he stood by powerless to stop it. That marriage was a mismatch of intellect, while this one was a mismatch of morals. But he wasn't powerless anymore. The training tortured into him ran through 100 ways to escape safely with the Shalane. He wouldn't even have to kill Shatan to do it, though his reasons for not killing him fell in clumps, like the bricks of a mortared wall hit with a battering ram. Only Dayson and Jaren would know the direction he took the Shalane, and he wondered if they would keep silent on the matter. An intense wave of nausea and pain weakened his legs, and he stumbled, the effort exerted to avoid falling tiring him. His planning fled as he fought for control of his agony. Fenna stared at him sadly. "Simple, soft Fenna," he thought. He could not leave her. If the power came to him as it did Shatan, then he had to stay, had to use what time he had to work Triss magic upon his friends against Shatan's folly. Upon reaching the dais, Jen stood behind the Shalane, Merel and Fenna flanking him. Opposite, Captain Drockley and two other Augmerian guards surrounded Shatan. The pontiff smiled weakly at Shatan and the Shalane, instructing them to hold hands. Padre Aethon, eyeing Jen askance, lay a purple ribbon over their wrists, and the pontiff spoke, voice grainy.
"Shalane, Shatan, as Eldaloth's hand and voice, it is my greatest joy to perform as almost my last act in the body your union in the sacred bonds of matrimony. A long time the world has waited, and it waits no longer. Tonight is the beginning of incarnation, the return of him whom evil slew to spite every good thing and bring all into subjection. Blessed are all of us who see this day, and more blessed are those who have fought, bled, and died to bring it about. But I am weak, and must not multiply my words lest they fail me completely. I, Pontiff Belliamus the Third, having received authority through long lines of succession back to Pontiff Alabane, who received his authority in vision from a ministrant of Eldoloth, pronounce the fulfilment and sealing of the betrothal that took place in the fall of the year past, and pronounce binding all covenants you made one with another in that ceremony. You, Shatan, and you, Shalane, are hereby pronounced man and wife. It is also under my authority, Shatan Cairn, to proclaim you king of nations, three now one under your rule, and the Shalane as your queen. Present yourselves to the assembly.
The pontiff slumped back onto his litter, as Shatan presented the Shalane to those gathered. Jen couldn't sort his feelings out. He watched the Shalane as Shatan led her off the dais and through the congratulatory crowd, noting her stiffness and the slight tremble of her hand. As they passed under the oval window, he saw it. The eclipsing circle over Triss slipped, ever so slightly to the left, revealing a slender crescent of Triss's bright circle. The ground shook for just a moment as the new light broke into the sky, and immediately a power and a joy suffused him, his whole being coming alive and temporarily free of pain. Shatan exclaimed out loud, releasing the Shalane's hand and dancing about with his arms raised in the air to an audience of questioning faces.
"Don't you feel it?" Shatan exclaimed to everyone. "It has come to me! Come, watch!"
Shatan bent down and retrieved the marriage ribbon that had fallen when he let go of his bride's hand. Crumpling it so it would fit in his extended palm, he concentrated, and the ribbon evaporated into black smoke. Even this simple task tired Shatan, his breath labouring. Hoping he would fare better, Jen thought he'd best be about his own work, for the pain was returning and he needed his entire concentration. Reaching within him, Jen pulled forth the power and, running over his mind the spell for protection, he cast it upon the Shalane, who stood just in front of him. It took time to properly ward someone against transmutation, and Shatan, fortunately, was too enthralled with himself to bother moving the procession forward. With the last drop of energy he could find within him, Jen activated the ward, teaching the very elements of her body to reject change. The Shalane paused, as if surprised, and Jen fell, strength gone. The Shalane crouched by him, feeling his forehead. Fenna Nelton took his hand.
"Shatan!"
the Shalane shouted, voice the sharpest Jen had ever heard it. Shatan, who was about to convert a button into smoke, stopped.
"Shatan, we cannot go on. We must let him rest. Jaren is rested and ready to watch, as is Dacen. That is protection enough."
Shatan slipped the button into his pocket and walked over, face amused.
"What say you to that, Jen?"
he mocked, hunching over.
"A bit too tired to keep watch."
Summoning all his strength, Jen stood, ignoring the protests and the restraining hands of the women caring for him. Both steadied him, and Jen was thankful for the Shalane's touch, for it took away the pain and allowed him to stand at all.
"I will watch," Jen said.
"Very good indeed. Colmyth used to be the one to guard me while I was abed. Since you killed him, it is only proper that you take his place. And you should know, Jen, that I kept my part and did as your challenge required. She is my wife now, and nothing you say is or ever will be binding on me again. I am filled with power and am the king of all nations. Tonight I command you to watch, but little will be required of you thereafter. Come away, Shalane. We'll let Dacen help him to the marriage chamber if he needs it. Miss Fairdale, Lady Mirrell, you will stay here with the rest of the assembly. I will return anon."
Fenner released Jen's arm and kissed his cheek, and he smiled at her as convincingly as he could, assuring her he would be all right. Mirrell's mouth was turned down with concern, and Jen remembered her warning. Now that he knew the cost in strength to protect someone, he wondered how long it would take before he had the energy to perform it again.